This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
And I am Max Kellerman. And let me tell you something. I have to do this. It's very important. I've been told that this is very important. Raj won't shut up about it all morning. Make sure you got the Straight Talk Wireless. So here it is. Straight Talk Wireless has the full court cell phone coverage you need. Just $45 a month gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, or data, depending on how you want to say it. Then, 2G for up to 50% less than the big carriers. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. I don't know. Sounds like a good deal to me. All right. As I was saying, this is the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, or your smart speaker. Presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. You can reach us at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. The Mavericks got jobbed last night, and I took the Clippers to win the whole thing when Kawhi signed. I took the Clippers. So Kawhi, I thought he proved he was the best player in the world. At the very least, for Kawhi, you can say the title is still disputed. It's like when Muhammad Ali was forced into exile by the government as an undefeated fighter and Frazier unified the titles. The best you could say for anyone else is, well, LeBron always had the playoffs to prove he was the greatest player in the world. So he got hurt and his team didn't make the playoffs, so he didn't have that anymore. You know, because at a certain point, LeBron wised up. He started taking his foot off the gas in the regular season on defense because he had to save himself for the playoffs. It's a two-month season, the playoffs. And that two-month season, you know, he's in it every year. He's in the finals every year for nine straight seasons. So, all right, what's he going to do? Or eight straight seasons. So what's he going to do? He takes his foot off the gas, and then so he can put it back on the gas when he needs it most in high-leverage situations in the playoffs. And then at a certain point, it went from LeBron's the best regular season player and LeBron's the best postseason player, so he's just the best player, to there are other guys who are better in the regular season than LeBron, maybe by a little bit. Steph Curry, KD, depending on the year. You could even argue James Harden, depending on the year. But then in the playoffs, LeBron reminds everyone, in the highest leverage games, I'm that dude. But he didn't have those games last year. And Kawhi, meanwhile, showed, nah, I'm that dude. Don't forget, Kawhi had won as a puppy, a finals MVP, as a puppy for the defense he played on LeBron before he was asked to carry the offensive load in San Antonio. But as that series wore on, he went from scoring not so much to consistently over 20 points a game. That was when he was like 22 years old. Then he gets traded to Toronto. They win the whole thing. And he has one of the all-time great postseason performances on par with some of Michael Jordan and LeBron James's. So he's the champ now. Or at best, you could say, well, let me see him prove it against LeBron. But I was saying in the preseason, if he stays in Toronto, Toronto's going to repeat. Because repeat. Isn't that weird? Repeat, 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 I would say. You have to hit the R. You have to hit the re. Toronto's going to repeat. Because there's no more Golden State Warriors. The issue with KD was not that he was looking to be on a good team. The issue with KD is there was already a 73-win team there. 73 wins. And he joined that team. They barely took anything away. It's not like they traded anyone to get him. That's like anti-competitive. That's a super-duper team. You can't do anything with that. But without KD there, all of a sudden, this Toronto team with Kawhi, they're going to win the whole thing. Or if he goes to the Clippers, they won 48 games, have Doc Rivers as the coach. And he got Paul George there too. You replaced Danilo Gallinari, nice player. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, nice player who's getting better. With Paul George, an MVP candidate till he got hurt last year, and Kawhi Leonard, who proved himself in the crucible of the playoffs, the best player in the world, you replace those two with a 48-win team, that's it. They're going to win the chip. So I've been on the Clippers since the preseason. And I think they're going to beat Dallas. But I got to tell you something. I don't know if they win last night. Dallas was controlling the whole game. And every time the Clippers, you know, early on, the Clippers had a nice lead and Dallas erased it. And then some. And every time the Clippers started to make a run, okay, here comes, you know, Paul George was clutched throughout. Here comes Kawhi. They're going to start to impose their will. Nope. Because when Porzingis is on the floor, it's hard to do anything with that dude. Now, think about what happened. He, earlier in the game, is denied in the paint by Zubac, right? He was fouled, and they didn't call it. They swallowed the whistle. I mean, clearly fouled. There's no. It's not a controversial. It's not, I don't know. It's like, oh, they fouled Porzingis, got away with it. On the replay, you could see that he was fouled. And then the very next play on the other end of the floor. So, by the way, he would have scored 2 points. He would have gone to the free throw line, at least. And on the very next play on defense, he has a clean block. And they say he committed a foul. So he's like, yo, you're swallowing your whistle on one end, and then you're blowing your whistle when you shouldn't be on the other end. Think about that. That's a great offensive player about to score in the playoffs, and then a great defensive player denying a dude in the playoffs. And both times, not only does he not get credit for it, they don't get the points, and the other team's going to the line. What? So of course he's going to pump his fist. He's frustrated. You tee him up over that? You tee him up behind showing a little frustration in the playoffs? So he, all right, so that first tee is bogus. And then the second technical, Doncic gets in it with Morris, and it was a little misunderstanding. Now, did Porzingis behave optimally? No, he was not in as a peacemaker, right? But he wasn't exactly exacerbating things either. He was kind of standing up for his dude, creating some space, but when more hands got involved and more bodies got involved, he pushed off a little bit. Stop. You tee him up over that after you jobbed him on both ends of the floor, teed him up unfairly. That's 3 times he got jobbed. And then tee him up when you really should, and by the letter of the law, get all the way out of here. As soon as Porzingis left the floor, that was the end of the Mavericks. It's not that Doncic is not their best player still. He is. I'm telling you right now, if Porzingis stays healthy, there's an MVP in his future. He's 7'3". He can shoot the three and shoots it a lot. He can take bigs off the dribble. He can defend in space. He can defend the paint. Can he be? They harped on it on the broadcast last night. And of course, they're right, but can he be better in pick and roll defense? Sure, but when he's on the floor, the other team's offense is different. Think of the game for Kawhi, how much easier it got when Porzingis was off the floor. But don't take my word for it. They erased an enormous deficit early in what looked like it might be a blowout. Then they started controlling the game and lost control. The moment Porzingis left the floor, they were up, I don't know, 5 or 6 points, and that was the end of the game for the Mavericks. That was it. By the way, even if I'm not saying they definitely would have won that game with Porzingis on the floor. I understand if you say the Clips are going to come back on them. And I don't think they're going to win the series. But I thought maybe they could take it 6, maybe even 7 games. And they just got robbed. Here's Porzingis after the game.
I understand. We got into it a little bit. And I saw him getting into Luka's face, and I didn't like that. That's why I reacted. But that's a smart thing to do from their part. I just got to be smarter and control my emotions next time, especially on the first one. I understand the second one, but the first one, even though I felt like it was a clean block, they're probably going to call that tech for throwing a hand every time. So I just got to be smart and not let my emotions get the better of me.
By the way, I'm looking at that again on the simulcast. Let me tell you what happened on the second tech that got him ejected. He came in to create distance between Morris and Doncic. Morris didn't like it, put his hands on Porzingis and pushed off. Then Porzingis pushed off to get Morris off him. The more I look at it, the more egregious it is. And look, the Mavs, they ain't winning the chip this year, I don't think. But see how I said I don't think you could say they can't either, even down 0-1 to the team that I picked. But I'm telling you, if Porzingis stays healthy, there is a chip in their future. There's going to be an MVP, at least one in Doncic's future. And I'm telling you right now, Porzingis is going to get one too. I don't know if he stays healthy. Giants, their bodies don't, and he's a giant, he's 7'3". Giants don't react like other people to you know, like we have to see how he develops. He's already had a catastrophic injury. And we have to see if his body can take it. But if he can, everyone's harping on Doncic right now because he's like Harden kind of numbers, almost a triple-double with 30 points. Guys, Porzingis is every bit, he's called the unicorn. He's every bit the generational talent that Doncic is. Maybe, like, no one has Doncic's swagger, really. Right? LeBron didn't have that when he entered the league. Kobe did. Like, there are very few players who ever came in the league like with Doncic. Like, what's up? Larry Bird did. Magic Johnson did. Those kind of dudes. But so I'm not saying the attitude is exactly the same. But this dude, Porzingis, go ahead, sleep if you want. Here's Doncic after the game.
I knew, like, KP had my back, you know. He did it for me, you know. He did it for his teammate, you know. He had my back. And not just me, you know, the whole team appreciate that. I don't think it was fair to get him out of the game, especially in the playoffs. But, you know, they decided, so we had to play without him, which is tough.
You know, people always, they're saying it's like Magic Johnson with Doncic and Dirk Nowitzki with Porzingis. And I know, I touched on this yesterday, I know why people are saying Magic. He shoots it a lot. He doesn't shoot it particularly well from long range yet. Bird shot the lights out. And also, people want to be careful and not do kind of racial stereotyping. Oh, he's a 6'8" white guy, so let's compare him to another 6'8" white guy. In fact, he's a lot like Bird. Doesn't shoot it as well as Bird yet, but he's like Bird in terms of the level of arrogance that he enters the league with, in terms of the fact that he's not really a point guard. He's not always bringing the ball up, but he's frequently getting you into your offense. He's a forward, not a guard. And he has a brilliant all-around sense of the game. And you're pairing with Porzingis. Porzingis doesn't shoot it as well as Nowitzki, but he shoots it plenty well enough. And the dude ain't 6'11", or he's 7'3", and a defender. On the line now. Here, let me do this properly. This is only my second time doing this show. I haven't done radio in about 4 years. A little rusty, but it's okay. On the line now, Kendrick Perkins joins us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, and he's going to give us Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart. See what we did? Two things. Two spots. Kendrick, yo, Perk, you're such a big deal. It takes two sponsors to bring you on the show.
Hey, Max, listen, I'm telling you. First of all, congratulations on your show, but I'm telling you, I did not come on here for you to run my blood pressure up today. I'm telling you that right now before we even get started.
Let me tell you something. Right now, someone's writing a Sonny Liston biography, a biopic for you to star in. You're an old soul, Perk. You're like a grumpy old curmudgeon, but you're too young. You're about, how old are you? You're like 10 years younger than me. How old are you now, Perk?
I'm 35.
35? Brother, yeah, you're the old. Yeah. You were born at 35. What are you talking about? 35.
I'm just saying. Some may mistaken me as Maurice Chestnut. I'm just saying.
I could have sworn I saw you beat Cleveland Williams back in '66. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
An eight rounder.
Yeah, well.
Listen, I know your grandma watches First Take, doesn't she? You've mentioned that.
Yeah, she watches it all the time.
And what does she say about the way you talk to me on First Take?
She said, "Don't talk to Max like that."
But why? Guess, why?
She, huh?
Why? Why is that?
Because she actually enjoys listening to you. Mm. She enjoys your show. She enjoys First Take. She watches you. She's a big fan of boxing, by the way. So she's been knowing. Yeah, she's been knowing you for a while. So she's a big fan of yours. That's why.
That's right. That's right. Learn some respect for your elders. Hey, Perk, I bet you, considering the way you, I think you're a TV star, and considering the way you, because there are curmudgeons in the sports media, right? And you're that, and early on I thought, well, Perk is just a curmudgeon who's going to make it better in the way his era played than the way they play now, and it's good. But you actually have real depth to your analysis and your game and everything. And I, the way you talk on TV, it has to make me think your grandma has personality too, right? I'm guessing she has a big personality.
She got a lot of personality for 85, yo.
I want you to ask her to come on this radio show. What do you call grandma?
I call her granny.
I want granny on the radio show. I want you to ask her, granny, if you are watching, I want you to come on this show. She's a boxing fan, too. You know it. All right, Perk, you said you didn't come to get your blood pressure worked up, but that's precisely what's going to happen. What do you have to say? You have a problem with anything I said so far on this show?
No, I haven't. You've been, for the second time, you've been dead on, and I agree with you on something. You've been spot on about everything you have been saying. For the second time, I agree with you.
What was the first time?
Well, I think it was us. We was talking about something, had to do with the Raptors or something to that nature. And I finally agree with you on something. I can't recall. We disagree so much. So, you know.
Literally, so you mean that literally, like, you don't even remember the topic, but you remember that we disagree so much that this is only the second time we've agreed. Like, if I say, hey, it's a nice day, you're going to say, no, this day is, the weather is terrible, like that type of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you're in New York, I'm in Houston, so, I mean, I might have to disagree with you.
You stealing signs while you're there, or what? Why do you bring that up?
I'm just saying, that's all I'm saying. Hey, listen, by the way, you should feel some type of way as a New York Knicks fan watching Porzingis and the beautiful basketball that he's been playing for the Dallas Mavericks. I mean, if I'm a New Yorker and I'm a diehard Knicks fan, born and raised in New York, I feel some type of way the way Dallas just stole him from y'all. Stole him. I mean, literally just stole him from y'all.
First of all, I was a diehard Knicks fan. I was a diehard Knicks fan, and I died hard. I'm dead. I'm a Lakers fan now. I went and did LA radio for 6 years. I gave up the Knicks because that dude, James Dolan, is so incompetent as owner of the Knicks. Perk, and then he sends his minions out to spin that's beat me in the head with this nonsense about well, we're rebuilding the team. Like, what kind of an idiot do you take the fans for? What type of an idiot do you take me for, members of the media for? You're trading a 7'3" unicorn who's a monster on offense, and his offense is only half as good as his defense, and he's still getting better. You trade that dude with a personality like that fit right in the NBA in New York City on his rookie deal and have the nerve to look us straight in the eye and, Perk, as you might say, fix your mouth to tell us that you trade him to build for the future? Hey, geniuses, you build around him for the future. And they didn't get anything for him, Perk?
No, they didn't get nothing back. Nothing back. You know what? Dallas sold y'all. Dallas traded y'all a used F-350 and got back a Rolls Royce.
It's unbelievable. Then, do you agree? I say if he stays healthy, if Porzingis stays healthy, given his age, given the trajectory of his career and his improvement until he got hurt, and now he's back to where he was, I expect him to get better than this. You know, a lot of times we see a dude and we're like, oh, he's going to get better and better, and he never really does. By the time he gets the wisdom, the body starts to go. But I look at his age and the way he was developing, and I say, yeah, I think Porzingis is going to get significantly better than this. And this is already a damn good player, like a game-changing player. I say if he stays healthy, there's an MVP and a championship in his future.
I agree. And you know what? Let me be the first to apologize, because I actually call Porzingis a diva. And me watching him play, because I didn't know what was going on in New York. And all I kept hearing him do was complain about the organization and, you know, miss exit meetings. Hell, if I was playing for that franchise, I would have been missing exit meetings too, because it's dysfunctional. I want to apologize to Porzingis, because I called him a diva for the way that he carried himself offside of the basketball as far as the way he handled the organization. But I would have handled them the same way. Now, to answer your question, to answer your question, look, after Anthony Davis and maybe Jokic, right, he's the next big in line, right? When you look how versatile this guy is, he's 7'2". He could shoot the three. He got turnarounds over both shoulders. He could put the ball on the floor and drive to the basket. And I'm not talking about a basic line right-hand drive. No, I'm talking about actually putting some jelly into it, crossing over, Euro-stepping. And by the way, underrated rim protector. I would like to see him on the block a little bit more, but that's not what the game is about. We seen that last night watching Joel Embiid. Post-ups are dead. But when you look at what he brings to the table, far as a 7'2 guy that could pick and pop, all mix it up and pick and roll and dynamic roller, a live threat at the rim. I do see him. He could possibly win the MVP. And I do see him and Luka Doncic in the next 6 to 7 years at least winning one championship.
At least one.
Together.
That's what I'm saying. At least one.
They would have beat the Clippers yesterday.
Perk, that's what I'm saying.
They was going to beat the Clippers yesterday. That game was theirs to get.
You,
and the
imagine
Clippers knew that.
Imagine your poor Zingas. First of all, imagine how dysfunctional the Knicks are. That, oh, I love this because this is a national show. We're talking about New York and Texas. Can I figure out a way to talk about Chicago and L.A. at the same time? Look, L.A., the Clippers, this works. You think about how dysfunctional the Knicks are. You have Porzingis, and you create an atmosphere around this dude so toxic that he can't wait to get out of New York. Now think your Porzingis perk. You get out of there. You go to Mark Cuban, who whatever else you want to say, because that organization's had culture problems too. But whatever you want to say, he seems to be a player-friendly owner, right? You go from Dolan to Mark Cuban. You go from playing with those dudes on the Knicks to playing with a genius. I mean, whatever you want to say about Luka, you know, because he could shoot it a little better still. He plays no defense. But sometimes, Perk, you see a basketball genius like LeBron, like Magic, like Bird, like Jason Kidd. A lot of times they're point guards, but not always, where you go, they just see it differently. They see the game and how it's unfolding differently from other dudes. They have like a sixth sense. You go and play. How much fun could that be to go from that toxic environment with no place to win and an owner who everyone hates to this? He's got to be in seventh heaven right now.
He is, and you can see it in his play. Max, the best duo in the bubble right now is Porzingis and Luka, and the stats back it up.
Yeah.
They're the best duo in the bubble. So with that being said, Porzingis, to me, is playing the best basketball of his career right now. He's finally healthy. And you know why? It's because, look, as a hooper, Max, let me tell you something. As a former NBA player, if you're in a great situation, you're going to perform well. Like, if your organization is great and you're happy to actually go to work and you feel enthusiastic about being around the organization and the franchise and all this, and you're able to communicate, you love your owner, you're going to perform at a high level.
Yeah.
And that's what we're seeing right now.
The most important thing about this segment, Perk, is that you've agreed to ask Granny to be a guest on this show. I need to talk to Granny. Listen, for real, tell Granny she could talk about any topic she wants. She wants to talk the fights? She can talk the fights. Anything she wants, but I want Granny on this show.
Okay.
I'll bring it on. Yeah. And by the way, if you want to put her on camera, if she wants to be on camera, even better. But I need to meet Granny and I need to meet her on the air.
All right,
Perk, trying to pass off that you're 35 years old. You played with Sweetwater Clifton, don't lie.
Max,
35 years old. Go ahead.
Hey, Max, listen, I always tell people this. I'm the flyest 6'10 brother you will ever meet. You understand? I keep telling people this. You know, when I get my hair cut, without a haircut, I'm a dime piece. When I get my hair cut, I'm a 11. People could crack all the jokes about what
they want. I
never
heard a dude
like,
refer to themselves as a dime piece, ever.
Well,
it's the first time.
You just heard it just now.
That's the first time for everything.
You know this for working with me for almost a year now, that I'm not your normal person.
No.
Right?
No, Perk is different. Perk is different.
Yeah, I'm different.
Listen, thank you for coming on the show. And I hope to be hearing a lot more from you on this show in the future. The great Kendrick Perkins, ladies and gentlemen, gave us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart. By the way, the NBA playoffs are on ESPN Radio. You can tune in tonight as Harden and the Rockets battle the Thunder, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 6 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. By the way the Rockets optimize those, you know, they play the kind of most efficient basketball possible. They only take shots that have rich rewards, you know, either in the paint or from three. Even without Westbrook, they always have a puncher's chance. But damn, James, and can you come through in the clutch this playoffs? The only thing separating James Harden from all-time great status is a clutch postseason. All right, look, speaking of a need of a clutch postseason, Embiid almost pulled off the upset versus the Celtics, but did he do enough? Also, we finally get to see the first matchup we wanted to see, the number one matchup, first round matchup. We wanted to see Lakers-Blazers tonight. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Portland now gets the Lakers in the first round.
This, to me, is the worst possible draw for the Lakers.
It's more than just Lillard. It is Melo. It's also the broken back of McCollum.
What do you got left for the Lakers?
I got a lot left. The good Lord has taken
back. I broke my back spinal.
There have been questions about their consistency, about AD's consistency.
The Lakers have had trouble making shots. If they're not making shots, Portland can beat them.
No, they can't. Portland can't beat the Lakers. By the way, you cannot imagine. Dame. Get him, Dame. You can't imagine in the commercial break the amount of planning and tsuris, that's Yiddish for like troubles, that Raj and everyone's going through. When do you do the read? Do you do when you read? But and then you have to do a billboard. And guys, it doesn't matter. These pedestrian radio rules don't apply to the talent, the likes of me. How dare you? This is the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, or your smart speaker, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. That would be the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Reach us at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. Want to hear what LeBron James had to say at his presser? Here it is.
Probably going to be probably the toughest one. This is the toughest, championship run for me personally, from the circumstances of just being in here.
The thing about when people say it's the toughest run, it may feel that way to the players. But understand, basketball, any sport, is a zero-sum game. Zero-sum means you either win or you lose. It's binary. Two outcomes. You got a winner and a loser. If it is the toughest thing to win a championship in the bubble, then it's the toughest thing for everyone to win a championship in the bubble, and therefore it is tougher for no one to win a championship in the bubble. So I get that. Really, this is what it is. And you know what? I don't know if I even have his permission to say this out loud, but I guess it's harmless. Michael Young, the shortstop for the Texas Rangers for years, who, by the way, advanced metrics really kept some baseball players I'd like to see in the Hall of Fame out of the Hall of Fame. Like, if this were years ago, Bernie Williams would be in the Hall of Fame, the Yankee center fielder, because the home runs, batting average, RBIs, like in his prime, were all Hall of Fame type numbers. Hit 330. 30 home runs, 100 ribbies, give or take for a bunch of seasons, 25 home runs. Michael Young was like that as a shortstop. In another era, Michael Young's in the Hall of Fame. That dude was good at shortstop for 200 hits a year. He was a productive player. Anyway, he's a big basketball fan, Lakers fan, was saying this is like a good experiment to see the bubble. What's home court worth? Right? What's it worth? He's not wrong about that. Because the bubble, you can see, what kind of advantage did the higher or the teams that would have had home court, what was their winning percentage? It's a small sample size, but still, you know, it's not the smallest sample size. You have a whole playoff worth of games. And then you can compare that to recent years, winning percentages of the home team. Find out what a home court advantage is actually worth in the NBA. It's a good point. So I get that LeBron doesn't really get to enjoy the home court that a one seed would have playing an eight seed. But for those thinking that the Blazers are going to upset the Lakers, it's not going to happen. Guys, the Blazers have been giving up 120, 130 points a game. Like, Lillard was the MVP of the bubble, but the Blazers were not the team of the bubble. Maybe in a bigger sense they were because they made the playoffs, and they had to kind of play two elimination games to get there. But they, like, that defense, basically, it's just score, 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 score. Late in the game, Damian Lillard steals the ball, gives you an extra possession, and hits a big shot, and you win. But I will remind people again, against the Brooklyn Nets, who had nothing to play for and everyone hurt. Not just Kyrie and KD. Everyone's hurt, except for Caris LeVert. LeVert, who was their best player by far, had a decent look to win the game, to send the Blazers home. He just missed it. He missed a decent look at the end of the game. That's not the Blazers. That's him missing the shot. Blazers could easily be out of the playoffs if he hit. No, they would have been had he hit that shot. That Blazers team is not beating this Lakers team in a best of seven. Let me give it to you another way. LeBron James is an MVP candidate. AD is an MVP candidate. They're both legit candidates. They don't have my vote, but either one, like, they're both legitimately in top five or six players this year. In the history of the NBA, have there ever been two top five to six players on the same team who were knocked out in the first round? And I'm not talking about based on their resume. Oh, he's going to the Hall of Fame. He's great. I mean, right now, there's still a lot of people telling you LeBron James is the best player in the world. I disagree, but maybe if they win the whole thing, he'll prove that I'm wrong and that he still is the best player in the world. That's possible. I think Kawhi is better than him right now. Not much. I think Kawhi's a little bit better than him right now. Now, you mean to tell me this version of LeBron, who you're arguing should be an MVP, a lot of you, and AD, who a lot of others are saying maybe AD is the best player on the team, those two are going to get knocked out in the first round by a team that can't play defense? Nah. Nope. That's not going to happen. I don't think it goes seven. I think this is, because Damian Lillard is coming into this series with one of those attitudes that we can all recognize, like, this dude is not trying to be denied. Because of Lillard, and by the way, McCollum is showing, and he's had some clutch moments in big games in the past, but he's shown with a broken back. Talk about I break my back for this team. He's with a broken back. He's balling. But for how long? And it's not as consistent from McCollum. And Carmelo's playing nice basketball offensively, but also he's not a defender, even though he's made strides there from compared to himself in recent years. And Nurkic can do things, but also this is a porous defense. But because of the way they play on offense, they can win a game or two. I think they could take it five, six games. I do not see them extending the Lakers seven games. Oh, the Lakers aren't going to hit shots. Danny Green has made a career by being the two guard that you want on a championship team. You think it's coincidental that he is with the Spurs for years and they're constantly making playoff runs and they're a powerhouse, and then he goes to Toronto and they win the championship? Danny Green is kind of exactly the prototypical 3-and-D guy. And even at this stage in his career, 25 minutes a game. Okay, he's struggling in the bubble so far from three, but for his career, 40% from three, shooting about five of them a game. This year, 37%. And he can play defense still. The Lakers will get just enough shooting, but the main thing is two top five players on the same team are not getting knocked out by a team that can't play defense. It's not going to happen. It's going to be fun, though. It will be fun. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer is changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, and save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. You all want to know what's going on inside my brilliant mind? Raj wrote this tease for me. Roger, don't put words in my mouth. How dare you?
I know what you think, man. I know what you're thinking. Say it like you really mean it. Say it the arrogant way that Max would read
it. This is the way I would say it. I would say that you can Max me anything coming right up, and I will answer your questions. And I'm going to get to some phone calls today. I don't feel like I got to enough phone calls yesterday. 888-729-3776. All guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. You can reach us at 888-SAY-ESPN. This is the Max Kellerman Show. Yeah, this is the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, or your smart speaker, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. You can reach us at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. You know, it's written 1-888. Do people not know, like, how old do you have to be to need the one still? First of all, on a cell phone, which is the only way people use phones anymore, you don't need a one. And second of all, who wouldn't know? you know what I'm saying? It's like an answering machine where people got used to a certain kind of formal way of doing an answering machine. So on my voicemail, I do even calling it an answering machine. It's voicemail now. It's Max, leave a message. Just so you know you didn't get the wrong number. And leave a message so I don't sound like a psychopath. Just saying it's Max, beep, right? But hello, you have reached, like, no one needs to know this, 1-888. Who is this for? All right, look. We're doing Max Me Anything. So I'm going to take your calls. I'm going to read your tweets. By the way, you can check out ESPN Audio at home by telling Alexa to play news from ESPN. ESPN Audio at Home is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out how far an extra mile really goes. From customization and service to financial assistance, Mercedes-Benz vans are ready for anything.
You got questions, and he's got answers.
So what am I going to do here?
This is Max Me Anything.
All right. So that's it. Now I start talking. Kenny Bombadil tweets at me, Luka Doncic or Trae Young, who is the best? This is an absurd question. Trae Young is not in Luka Doncic's universe. Trae Young is a nice player for his size who is not comparable to Luka. They are not comparable players. Trae Young is, when he's playing really well, an all-star caliber player. Luka Doncic entered the league as that and is now an MVP caliber player. I'll do it again. Star system. Five stars is an MVP caliber player. Four stars is an all-star. Three stars is a starter. Two stars is a rotation piece. One star is a replacement level player. Okay? Got called up from the G League. There might be another guy like him. And you could stars too, like a one-star player.
You saying he like Shake from the Sixers? What are you talking about, man?
No. Shake Milton's better than a one-star player. Shake Milton is he's a 2.5 to 3 already. He's real. But Trae Young is a 4-star player. Not 4.5. He's a 4-star player. He's an all-star. Luka Doncic is a 5-star player. He's an MVP caliber player. All right. Z-Lo wants to know, when will you finally show the New York Knicks some love? When James Dolan sells the team. Brett Mauser wants to know, Lou Pernell or Forrest, how would you rank the Whitakers in terms of greatness and impact on his industry? Ooh, it's a good question. Lou Whitaker, the second baseman for the Tigers. I don't know if he's a Hall of Famer. He should have been a Hall of Famer. He should be in the Hall of Fame. Pernell Whitaker, the great champion who passed recently.
Sweet Pea.
And Forrest Whitaker, the actor. Pernell's got to be one, clearly, there. And nothing against Forrest Whitaker. I think Lou Whitaker deserves his love there. I'm going to say Lou 2 and Forrest 3. I'm going to say Pernell, Lou, and Forrest Whitaker. Big L or Cool G Rap, Jermez Lynx wants to know. Cool G Rap, is that a trick question? Well, you know, I'm going to get into that a little bit later on. Max Kellerman Show.